Gary Johnson and William Weld both are a ticket that we can take to the American people.
When I saw him speaking, I saw someone who was genuine, who wasn't interested in seizing power or any of that other stuff.
You feel like you're connecting with somebody. It doesn't feel like you're talking to a politician.
There's a candidate getting double-digit support in national polls for the president, and that person's name is not Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton necessarily. That person's name is Gary Johnson. He's running for the Libertarian Party presidential nomination. He's in Orlando, Florida, making the case to voters right now. Gary Johnson, welcome to Reason TV.
Matt, great being with you always.
So you said after, and you've said often since your 2012 run as a Libertarian Party candidate, getting 1% of the vote, that run itself was a failure.
And it was grueling. And you can't get elected president one person at a time. I don't say this to offend all the people that worked really hard for me in 2012, but in retrospect, 90% of the time I spent running for president ended up to be wasted time.
And what's different this time around?
Doing the 10% that was successful, doing that and filling my time with that 10%. And part of that is having fun.
Let's reel back a little bit. I've asked everybody here, including delegates, and this might be a little bit meta, but what's the purpose of a Libertarian Party presidential campaign? What is it there for, and how are you best positioned to fulfill that purpose?
I would not be doing this if there weren't the opportunity to actually get elected. But to do that, the only chance that a third party candidate has of getting elected is to be in the presidential debates. The Presidential Debate Commission says that you have to be at 15% in the polls. Key for me right now is just being in the polls. I've been in three national polls, but for the three national polls that I've been in, I've witnessed another 30 national polls that haven't included my name. If my name will just be included in the polls, I think that the scrutiny that would go along with my record and what it is that I'm saying, and hopefully my running mate, Bill Weld's, that if you put those resumes, if you put that job experience under the microscope, that it really holds up. Two very successful Republican governors serving in blue states, fiscally conservative, socially liberal.
Now, you're talking as if we're in a general election campaign, but we're not. We're in Orlando, Florida to try to win a Libertarian Party primary.
Yes.
And one of the critiques that you hear out there in the floor a little bit is that you're running the general election campaign. You got to win the primary first. And the Bill Weld nomination is not the right word, right? It's a suggestion, ultimately.
Suggestion, exactly.
Because of the
exactly.
party rules. Was received by some people as, hey, they're taking for granted that they're going to get the Libertarian Party.
And neither of us are taking this for granted. Never once have I said that I'm going to be the Libertarian nominee. Not once. I hope to be, and Bill Weld, same way. Never once has he said it, or he hopes to be.
You called him the original Libertarian last night, got some boos for that comment. He's being critiqued as someone who is just not quite Libertarian enough. What is your response to that?
Well, that Bill Weld was my role model in politics. When I say the original Libertarian, actually when he talks about his history going back to prosecuting Nixon in Watergate, he identified half the people in the room as Libertarian, the other half as Republican. He's always defined himself philosophically as a Libertarian. Serving as governor of Massachusetts, he always described himself as a Republican Libertarian, always took that as a badge of honor. When Jesse Helms denied Bill Weld becoming ambassador to Mexico, it was because Bill Weld was pro-choice, he was pro-gay rights, he was pro-medical marijuana at a time when none of us were really talking about those issues, but he has always talked about those issues.
Walk us through briefly the total idealized scenario that starts. So you get your nomination, you get your Bill Weld, then what happens that leads to the breakthrough?
It's happening right now. It's happening. I was on Jimmy Fallon last night, and I'm talking secondhand now. I didn't see it, but Jimmy Fallon says, hey, there's a third-party candidate out there. It's Gary Johnson, and then he runs a clip with me talking about legalizing marijuana, cuts back to the crowd, and they're all cheering. It's happening, Matt. This is happening now.
We're going to make GIFs of this with the Ron Paul hands here. I asked you this before you ran last time. What's failure this time? What level beyond which you don't go would be considered a failure in this run, assuming that you get it?
I don't think it's failure. I will tell you what might not happen that will lead to ultimately being failure, and that will be not being included in these polls. The difference this year, and by the way, in 2012, the issue was I was not in one single national poll. I was in lesser polls. And I never had an issue with thresholds when it comes to polling. What I had an issue with is, gee, I'm on the ballot in enough states, 48 in 2012, to mathematically be elected president. Shouldn't that entitle me to be at least in the polls? Because I was only one of four people that could have been elected president of the United States. This go-round, okay, three national polls to this standpoint, but as I pointed out earlier, there have been 30 national polls that I've seen without my name in it since during that same time period. But right now, this is getting to critical mass. And so you talk about failure. Well, really, there isn't failure at all in the process, but unsuccessful will stem from not being in the polls.